and we ask a question, does God answer our prayers? And we got a resounding response from God's word that he does answer our prayers. We saw where he answered our prayers by saying yes. We saw where he sometimes answered our prayers by saying no. And we saw where he answers our prayers by saying wait. But in everything, we must have the right attitude, spiritual attitude, when we approach God in prayer. So today, our subtopic, so to speak, Brother Bean, is what should be our response, what should be our attitude when God does answer the prayers? What should be our overall attitude when we approach God in prayer? What should we be expecting, and what does God want from us also? So today, as I promised you last week, we'll be going to an Old Testament scripture, because in the Old Testament, we can learn a lot, church, from how the people related to God and how God related to them. And therefore, we're going to go to a scripture in Romans. Everybody turn to that scripture for me. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. And it says, for whatsoever, listen to the passage carefully, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our what? Our learning. You have your Bibles open? Yes. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, this passage by the Bean is a sermon by itself also, this verse, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. This message to you this morning is a message of hope. It's a message of hope. And we are going to go to the Old Testament to an example. We could call it a case study. You can call it an example of David. Of something happened to David, and David had to go to God in prayer. And we're going to see what happened to David. Now, a next passage, so this is the passage you must keep in mind. Romans 15, verse 4. And there's another passage that you must keep in mind. And that is in Luke chapter 22. I think Brother Fisher has that one. Verse 41 and verse 42. Could you read it for us, Brother Fisher? Yes. Luke chapter 22, verse 41 and verse 42. What does it say?
And he was withdrawn
from them.
About a stone's cast.
And kneeled down and prayed. Stop. So this is the Son of God himself, you know, Brother Long. This is the Son of God praying to his Father. Am I right, church? Son of God, you know, praying to his Father. And listen to what he's saying in the prayer, because we can learn a lot from what he says in the prayer. Read verse 42 for me.
Saying,
Father,
if thou
be willing, remove this cup from me. Yes?
Nevertheless,
not my will,
but thine be done.
Your will must always be done. That's what it means, you know, church. When he said, but thine will be done. Your will always be done. Listen to it. Listen to what relates to us now. Now, Christ now, as an example, Alicia, is saying to us, when we approach God in prayer, we must always approach him that it is not just what we want. It is not just what we desire. But it is his what? It is his will. Whatever his will is, Elaine, is what God wants. That's how we must approach God in prayer. That is our attitude when we approach him in prayer. So he's saying that, what's what Christ says, you know? Not my, and Christ knew that this cup that he had in front of him, Brother B, was not a pleasant cup, you know. It was a bitter cup, Sister Fisher. It was a bitter cup, a cup of anguish, a cup of embarrassment, a cup of torment, a cup of scandal. It was a terrible cup. And he says, if you are willing, God, remove this cup from me. But I, Christ, I know, God, the Father, I know that you always have a will. You always have a purpose for what you are doing. So he says, not my will. Even though I am the Son of God, it's not my will. So that, oh, we must pray also, you know, Sister Fisher, it's not our will, but it is what? Thy will be done always. Always. But thine be done. The Amplified Bible puts it like this, Brother Peart, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup of divine wrath from me. Yet, not my will, but always, always yours be done, always. So even when we are in a crisis in our lives, we don't know, we as fickle, we as human beings don't know the full purpose of God in every situation. And listen carefully to me. We don't know the purpose of God in every situation. That is why now we have to approach him now in that way, that it is not my will. I am human. I have limitations. I don't know everything. But you know everything. So therefore, your will must be done at all times, always. Amen? Yes. Right. It must always be done at all times, always. So when we go to the Old Testament scripture now, Brother Long, to look at the case of David, we want to see if David had any of these things that correct. Because David was a man before his time, you know. A man before his time. Right? He didn't know about the gospel, but he had a lot of insight into God's ways, and he related to God a certain way. And that is why now we can go to him, because the Bible says we can have patience. Listen now. We can have patience and comfort. Read that little part again for me, Brother Fisher. That little part of Romans 15, 14. That we through what? Just that little part. 15 verse 4.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime, mm-hmm. were written for our learning.
That were written for our learning.
That we
through patience and comfort of myself. No. The patience and the comfort. Listen to the passage now. It comes from the scriptures. That's why we have to study. That's why I have studied the Bible. Am I right, Brother Bean? Yes. Because the patience that we are going to get, the comfort that we are going to get, it is coming from the scriptures, so that we can have what? Hope. We're not people without hope, you know. We're not people without hope. Amen? We're not people without hope. But so it comes, though, the source that we have is from the scriptures. Because what the Bible says, we will get the patience, we will get the comfort from the scriptures, which in turn now will give us hope. If you listen very carefully and you participated in Brother Morrison's prayers each morning, each Sunday, I look forward to his prayers every Sunday morning, you can pick up in Brother Morrison's prayer that even though we have challenges of health, challenges of different type of human challenges, there is still what at the end? Hope. There is still hope that is in the prayer at all times. And we get that from the patience and comfort of the scriptures. Never forget that. Now, let's go now to David now. And turn your Bibles with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12 from verse 13 to verse 23. 2 Samuel 12 from verse 13 to 23. Verse 13 says, "And David said unto Nathan," listen, "I have what? Sinned against the Lord." And what did Nathan say?
Nathan said unto David, "The Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die."
Stop. No, it's a lesson again by itself. How should we approach our sin? No, that is why David was like God, God really loved David, you know, because when David sinned, David did not cover his sins, you know. When he is confronted with his sins, he owned up to his sins. Yes. He didn't seek to cover. He didn't seek to blame anybody else. David just says to Nathan, Nathan confront him. And when you're home, read the entire chapter of 2 Samuel 12, and you'll see what the sin was all about. Because I don't have much time. But David did a grievous sin. Grievous sin. Compounded sin. Sin upon sin. So, you know, sin upon sin. When you read the chapter, you'll see why I call it sin upon sin. And then he said, "No, I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also hath take away thy sin. You will not die. You will not die." But Brother Mitchell always say it, that we will have consequences. Am I right, Brother Pierre? Brother Mitchell always said that there are consequences of our sin. Consequences from our sin. So although David himself is not going to die, but there is going to be consequences, Brother Long, for his sin that he did. And then now in verse 14, he said, "Howbeit, because by this deed that you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also," listen to this, this is the piercing part now. I want everybody to listen to it now. "The child also that is born unto you shall" what, Brother Fisher? That's the will of God, you know. It's not what David would want to hear. It's not something you don't want any child of yours to die. It doesn't matter what. But God is showing David that there is going to be a consequence to his sins. God is showing David the seriousness of sin. Because David put God's name in disrepute among the nations. That's why I say blaspheme. To blaspheme the enemies of the Lord, to blaspheme him, to take him, have no respect for God. It can't go like that. That's what God is saying to him. There's going to be a price to be paid. And your child is going to die. Now, some people, you know, Brother Bean, would start to shake their fists against God. God, you are so unfair. And David did not do that. What David did, look at verse 15 now. "And Nathan departed unto his house. And the Lord did what?"
"And the Lord struck the child that you are a wife bear unto David. And it was very sick."
Very sick. The child was very sick. You know that this is not an ordinary flu now. The child is very sick. Can the Bible describe it as very sick? Look at verse 16 now, Brother Fisher. Stop a second. In the first week, I explained to you what prayer was. I gave you certain definitions of prayer, remember? And one of the definitions was beseeching. I see Elaine say it with her verb. It's not beseeching. It's like you're pleading with God. Am I right, sir? Pleading with God. Be something deep in your heart you want God to deal with. So although Nathan told David that the child would surely die, David is still going to approach God. So David now therefore besought God for the child. This now. We do that many times. Many times we have people, members who are sick, family members who are sick, and we beseech God. And we are to beseech God. He wants us to talk to him. So David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. That is, you call that grief? That is deep grief in a church. Deep grief. He went into like a depression But even in his depression, he's praying to God for guidance. He's praying to God to help his child not to die, the human condition. Haven't we done that many times? I remember some years ago, I won't call the name of the brothers, but there was a child of Christian people here in this congregation. And we prayed for the child, and everybody was praying for the child. It was even on Facebook praying for the child. Everybody prayed for the child. The child still died. But even that situation, we must never put our fist against God. Never do that. Never you do that. Never. So David now fasted. That means he didn't eat anything. And he went in and he lay all night upon the earth. Look at verse 17. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to do what?
To raise him up from the earth.
But he would not.
Neither did he eat bread with them.
That is when you're really, really at the bottom. Have you ever felt like that, Christians? Talk to me now. Honestly, me now. Some people down there. You never feel like that before? That you feel so down. You never feel like that before? And you're a Christian. Somebody say, oh no, you're a Christian. You mustn't feel like that. No. We will feel those emotions, those raw emotions that make us human. We feel it. Christ felt it. He cried until his sweat was like drops of what? Blood. He felt, he's the Son of God, you know. So we will feel it. We will feel those raw emotions to come over us many times in our Christian journey. So David is feeling it very, very hard. He did not eat bread. The people, the elders could not take him, could not get him to sit up. Look at verse 18 now.
And it came to pass on the seventh day.
Stop. You mean to tell me, church, that David not eating for 7 days? He did not eat for 7 days. He was just lying there on the floor and he was fasting and he was beseeching God and he was praying and he's beseeching and begging for his child's life. And at the seventh day now,
stop, man.
We want the pause. We want the pause, right? And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. Has that happened to you? You pray for someone you love dearly. Are you going to have disappointment with God? Question yourself, you know, think about yourself. You pray about the situation. That situation you don't want to happen, but it still happened. What do you do? What do you do, Brother Bean? You pray for it. Are you going to say that God is not alive? Are you going to say there is no God? What are you going to do? You pray about this sickness and it still get worse. But Christ gave us the key. Christ gave us the key, Christians. Christ is saying, not my what, my will, but thine will always be done, because you know best. You have all knowledge, all power. Your will be done. Let us see what happens now. The child died. Continue for me, Brother Fisher.
And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead.
Why do you think they're afraid to tell him? They are afraid to tell him because of what he was not eating or drinking. He wasn't eating. He was fasting. He was lying on the ground. He was in serious case of depression. He was pleading to God every minute of the day for 7 days. 7 days. He went through this for 7 days. So if you see somebody behaving like that, you're going to be afraid now to tell them, because the child was alive when he was doing that, you know. You're going to be afraid to tell him now that the child has actually died. You wonder, what is he going to do now? You follow me, sir? What is he going to do now that the child has actually died? No. So they are afraid to tell him. So they are arguing in a certain way now. Listen to their argument, church. Continue.
While the child was yet alive, we spake unto him.
And he would and he would not hearken unto our voice.
How will he then vex himself?
How will he then vex himself? He probably do something worse now. Continue.
If we tell him that the child is dead.
Then a predicament. What will he do now that the child is dead? When the child was alive, he was so in despair, brother Long. He was on the floor. He wasn't eating. He was just beseeching God. He wasn't communicating with them any at all. And the child was alive at that time. Now the child is actually dead. What will he do? How will he vex himself? What kind of harm may he do to himself? What other kind of intense things will he do to himself? Intense harm will he do to himself? But when David saw his servants, what? Whispered. He knew something wrong, you know. Right? You know something wrong when these people start whispering, you know. You know something is wrong. I never forget. Never forget the day when Monica and I lost Curtis. Never forget. We were coming from San Diego at the time, San Diego Church of Christ, and I was talking about, never forget that day, I was talking about all the sky was so beautiful that day, and the clouds were in the sky. And I was saying to Monica, look at that cloud formation. It's so, so wonderful. And then we turned the corner up Monterey Avenue and we saw a lot of people at our gate. I said, what? So we know immediately something is what? Wrong. We perceive that. That's what David is saying here. He perceived. He saw the whispering and he perceived. When we saw the people at the gate, we knew something was wrong. And then some people don't know how to break death, to break the news of death. He just blurts out that Curtis is dead. Okay, he died in a motorcycle accident. Curtis is dead. Immediately, Monica collapsed. She just collapsed. But we are Christian people. Brother Pierce said in his speech this morning, we use things like these, Brother Pierce, to even bring us closer to God. Brother Pierce, talk about it. This man was saying, Brother Pierce, you can preach my sermon. And people come to our home, they know the problems we're going under. It was just like one thing after the other. You know, at the same time after that, Monica lost her brother. Somebody murdered her brother. Same time, my business was collapsing. Same time, my mother had cancer and was dying. Everything was happening at the same time. And somebody came to the home one day and said to us, they expect to see us looking haggard. They expected to see us. They said, boy, what are you guys going through? We expect to see you with a whole heap of white hair. That's what the person said to me, the Karen. And we were smiling and talking with them. And they just couldn't understand why we were smiling and talking with them after all that ordeal. That is what you have to do. That we still have hope. That's what we have to do, Christians. We can't give up. Sometimes things happen one after the other. And then when I thought everything happened, I'm okay now. Years after that, now this ailment came on me where I couldn't even walk. And I was in pain all the time. And people come and look for me. People come and look for me. Other people from the church come and look for me. I said, how are you looking so in good spirits? We can't allow Satan to make us have disappointment with God. We can't lose our faith. Listen to the people now. Listen to what David did now. Then verse 20. Verse 9. The child is dead. Whispered David, perceived the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said what?
He's dead.
You don't believe that God no more. You pray to God for 7 days. He's dead. What are you going to do now? Then David arose from the earth, anointed himself, changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Can you imagine? That's like a Superman now, you know. Came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house
when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Mind if I eat for 7 days? I mean, you eat now, though. That is how the world can't understand the Christian, Brother Bean. The world can't understand us. They can't. Brother Mitchell talking about all the time. You can't understand till you come into the house of the Lord. We know they couldn't understand. Look at verse 21, brother.
Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done?
Mm-hmm.
Thou didst fast and weep for your child while he was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst arise and eat bread.
And they said his servants unto him, what thing is this that you have done? Many people look at us, the Christian, and wonder how we do it, you know? They mind the street, and God expects us to do that. God expects us to be a message to the world, how we cope with our challenges. We can't cope with it like them, you know. We must baffle them. They must be baffled by us, Elaine. They must say, what is this? How you go through this? And you mustn't take credit, you know. You must turn and say, it is only who? God. Then he said to the servants unto him, what thing is this that you have done? You did fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, you rise up, you eat bread. You know what they forget to mention? If it's a Wednesday night, Bible study, I ask you. They forgot to mention the first thing that he did. Ah, thank you very much. He didn't just eat bread. He went and worshiped God. A lot of the people that we pray for here, you know, I won't call names, but a lot of the people we pray for here, they are very strong people, you know, because of the prayers. And they get comfort from the scriptures. And they hold on, they're going through challenge in their family, you know, and them still hold on. How they do it? The people in the world will never understand how we do it. They can't. Verse 22, and he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me? So you still must pray. They don't know the outcome. God may still say yes. Then the child may live, but now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So even David in his time knew that he didn't know about eternity and all those things that we know about now, but he knew that he will one day die also and go to be with his son. In his limited way, he knew that. We now have the bright light. We know that we can. We know that we'll be in eternity, right, Brother Pierre? We know that if we live a Christian life, we will be all together again. We will see each other again. Christians, please, I don't have much time. Christians, please have hope. Have hope. Have hope.